Welcome to it, the year in review show for the On The Bounce show in 2024. Now, prior to this, we have done 28 episodes.
Yes, sir.
And I think it's a good enough time now, while we're all on holiday, everyone's enjoying some downtime, for us to go back into some of the memorable moments, the big highlights, which there have been quite a lot.
There have been a lot. You know, it's always important to talk about, you know, all the memories that we've created, but the best thing, as they say about a story, is to start at the very beginning where we met before we jumped into the pilot.
I thought you were going to say something super sentimental there right off the bat. There we were. Hey, we met at a paddle club, paddle club in Craig Hall. Because, you know, the producers of the show and the powers that be, we were going to create a sports show. Yeah. I needed a co-host. Of course, my background in the Gareth Cliff show meant that I was going to be the original person as part of the show. But I needed a co-host, and it was no easy job, I tell you what. You know, I'm quite a difficult guy to get along with. I'm very discerning.
You okay?
I'm very discerning. I don't hang out with many people. So I met this dude at this polo club.
Also, if you look, this is how long we've been doing this show. You know when you start seeing crazy things? Look at Ben's facial hair. He has no facial hair in that first photo. I just realized that. I'm like, Ben, he had no facial hair.
Do I look older or younger?
You look,
Yeah, I'm still not sure.
Nah, you look older than that one. You've definitely aged backwards on this one.
Another interesting thing to find from that original meeting is that if you look at the back, the second screen there, there's a Man United versus Arsenal game on.
Fuck, I've been shit the whole year. Jeez, even before we started, I was shite. Okay, hectic.
That was it, sir. That was it. So from there, obviously we had like two beers. You told me your life story. I told you mine. And then we kind of got along great. So my initial reaction was like instantly.
Yeah.
I mean, we had no history, so I could have very much said, no, next, find a new guy. But you were the dude. You were the dude. And from there, like that very next week, we got into the studio to shoot a pilot.
Yeah, we got in and we shot the pilot. And, you know, it was super awkward for me because I've never done like a proper TV thing. So I don't know if this clip is going to show me fucking up my first couple of lines, forcing the guys for me to do it again. But we're alive, so like, well, I basically lost my marbles.
Tell you what, it started out looking like you had a couple of lines.
Firstly, Tyson Fury got the ass beaten out of him. Usyk is like a guy from Boxburg. He just put the beating on that guy. It was like a H2O set with Ricardo da Costa and Kyle Kassim. It was foot skating 101. It was a beatdown. If you look at the last 30 seconds of the ninth round, the ref literally saved his life. So Tyson Fury, your sour grapes and your sour words, we don't feel bad for you on the show. And shout out to the unification of the heavyweight fight. It's been a long, long, long time since, you know, those belts have been unified. It's been a boring, you know, couple of years worth of heavyweight boxing, but I'm super happy of where we're at.
How do you feel about Man City winning again? Is it like a good football thing, or is this becoming a little bit too dominant, a little bit too Max Verstappen-y?
Before people say I'm bitter, and I have to do this for everybody on the sports shows, congratulations to Man City and all 7 of their fans worldwide. 4 of those fans being angry wives and girlfriends who don't understand what an offside rule is. The great thing about Man City winning the league is that nobody actually cares, you know, but I view Man City like the drunk uncle at a party. We were all having a great time before Pep Guardiola arrived, and for the past 4 seasons, he's ruined everybody's life. You can guess that I support Manchester United Football Club, and we'll see you on Saturday. We will have justice for football, so don't worry about that.
It's an interesting kind of run into this Irish test, okay? Because it's being billed as the two best teams finally having the big showdown, okay? Which is true. I mean, you've got the real world champions versus the people who think they're the world champions. So the dynamic is already quite cool. But no, it's real. I mean, just speak to any Irish person. But tell me why or what evidence you've had that could potentially create the Man United win.
So, first of all, justice for football. David versus Goliath. You know, Mandela, we're doing it for Mandela. We're doing it for just humanity. You know, we'd need a hero. And in every era, Man United have been the hero. So guys, next week when I come on the show, I'll be wearing my Man United jersey and I'll tell you that we're right.
United, do not have a Man United vest. That'd be quite sweet.
Guys, we have to do it for football. There is no evidence. They are the best team in England right now, but we are the greatest team in England. So Sir Alex Ferguson, this is for you. Nelson Mandela, this is for you. Children of the Earth, this is for you. Trust me. Just trust me on this one. I won't make huge calls like this. But this one, we're winning just for football. Instead, you know, like I was talking about the other ones, they have to get one over now. Otherwise, it's going to be like the Sharks. They're stumbling block every time they get to the big dance. They're the bridesmaid. No attack at bridesmaids, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of wraps up for our first show here.
Love it. Thank you guys for having us for the first show. Yeah, let's make the people money and please let us know what other sports we need to cover.
No. Don't give them options.
Okay. Never take that back.
Take it back straight away.
This is our show.
It's on the bounce. Okay. We're going to back ourselves.
We back ourselves. And yeah, thank you, Ben. I really appreciate this opportunity. Let's do it again next week.
Alrighty. So you can find me on Instagram at The Bounce, on Twitter at Follow The Bounce.
And me, Sandile Shangaza, at Shaz LNS, SHAZLNS. That's me. And yes, guys, join us next week. Let's do it again.
Very excited about this. I'm very excited about this being a weekly thing that we're going to get into this here studio for.
And next time I need to wear something that's not green. I got that. And that is my outcut.
Alrighty. Catch you next week.
Cheers.
Yeah, at the time, I thought the pilot was good enough to go.
That was terrible, guys.
I thought it was good enough to put out there as our first episode.
I'm a really, you know, seeing how far we've come along. That's 30, that's like 29. Do we count it as an episode? So it's 30.
Yeah, sure.
We're 30 episodes deep and I've made so many faux pas in that section.
But you were the first and last guy to wear a vest in the studio. I mean, I'm really cold just dressed like this.
Oh, so guys, as you'll probably see coming in is, so I woke up early in the morning, prepared for the show. These fuckers in the studio, I'm going to put it out there.
Sorry, these fuckers in the green screen studio. Yes, carry on.
Yeah, so I'm wearing a green shirt and I'm ready to go. And everyone just looks at me like I'm strange. And they're like, bro, we're in a green screen. I'm like, I don't know what that means. So basically, you cannot wear green on this. That's why, you can only wear old school green. So that's why in this clip, you see me wearing a LeBron James jersey.
Who did you steal that from? I forget now.
My girlfriend was working at Raft at the time, and she was wearing my shirt. And I had to exchange shirts with her, which was awkward because we had to go to the bathroom, and it was like weird. So yeah, that's a little fun fact that happened.
But speaking of outfits, and just generally between the two of us being so fashion forward, in the last 20 episodes, we've worn a variety of sporting merch, and we've got some pretty good outfits. You know, but there's been a few in particular of yours that have been my absolute favorites as these clips are about to show. But we're going to start out by introducing our new show host, Sandile Soprano.
That's great. Guys, please enjoy the drip. Yo, it's just a little puma something that I got going on. What's up, James? I know this is going to be a long show for me.
As always, my show host is Sandile. He'll never walk alone. Shangaz, here he is. I should, bro.
As you guys know, I'm a man of my word. I want to die, but we're here. Let James jump in right now so he can get it out of his system. James, let's go.
Damn, red looks good on you, dude. It looks phenomenal.
Let me start on a very humble
James,
note.
Is that the best you got? Man, you're not already in red. That all you got?
He practiced the whole week for that one punchline. James, I want to be an honorable man.
You know what I actually find the most offensive about that entire thing is that you dress like a photocopy salesman today.
So that's super hilarious. You guys did me dirty. But a bet's a bet. I will wear my Liverpool shirt, and I wore it. And then also I had to repeat the Tony Soprano one. I knew that one was going to be a fan favorite. But a bet's a bet, Ben, and you've taught me to keep my word, and I'm going to keep on doing that.
There's been quite a few, haven't there?
Fuck me. Jeez, is this a roast of Shaz? What the hell's going on?
No, it's not meant to be a roast, but your bets and your love of Man United has kind of got you in a bit of trouble throughout many, many episodes. I mean, not only has it got you into some dodgy fashion choices, it kind of got you into some literal cold water, didn't it?
That has got to be like the wildest thing I've done, and it was such a cold morning, bro. And it was the coldest. I think it was the coldest it has been in the whole year. I wake up bloody early, and I've got to get into this ice bath. And oh my god!
So yes, Man United made him do this.
And also another thing, before we gotta go, I'm gonna just shoot forward into the new year. Do you guys know Man United has forced me to wear an Arsenal jersey in the new season? So in the new year, so I'm pretty fucked for this.
Please, can we just keep to one thing at a moment? Yep. We all can't keep track of your best. Let's just run this one for the time being.
So on the coldest, gloomiest day of winter, he joined me on my roof for 8 degrees of happiness.
Fucking freezing.
Okay, man of his word, here he is.
Man of his word, didn't bitch out. Man United still be reign supreme. Yeah, it is freezing, guys. It is freezing. I just like something up.
So I set it to 7, because obviously it'll warm up a little bit, so 8. When that clock hits 8, showtime.
You don't have any you don't have any heart conditions or anything like
no,
that.
No, do not have any heart conditions.
There's no like existing medical things we need to worry about here.
Fuck.
Agreed on 90 seconds for the 90 minutes your team was shot.
Yeah.
Alright.
Let's do it.
Okay, there we go. Alright. So down. Nip's gotta go in. That's it. Are you killing it? So you gotta get a little bit lower.
My butt is on the ground.
Okay. So how do you think Brighton managed to score that goal right in the time?
Lack of defense. We have to be better. But you know, I want to tell y'all it is fucking cold. but we'll be better. But you know, Bruce Lee said, "Be like the water." So much of being like the water.
Yeah, it's only really cold plunge if you get your shoulders in.
No, I can't. My body, my got big ass shoulders.
Dude, you are doing so well. Just scoot it a little bit down there. Because at the moment, you're only three-quartering. You're basically like Man United. You're not getting all the way there. See, easy. You guys, do you want to know how much time you got, or must I just tell you to stop?
Just fuck it. Just speak to me.
I'll tell you when to stop. You're doing very good. If we can get a collarbone on water there, then you really win.
Oh man.
No, you're doing... It's really great.
This is really cold. This is some sort of Chinese torture. But I'm good. Mind over matter.
And we've brought in the Asians. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Done.
All done. What a player. What a player.
Guys, no, it's real. Guys, yeah. So I did it in bitch out. Man of my word. Yeah, guys, it's really a thrill. Fuck. Oh my god. Like, I thought I was a goner. Fuck. Okay, got through it. Mind over matter.
Hold on, man. Fucking well done.
Catch the On The Bounce show live 4 p.m. Thursdays, or catch the podcast after that.
So, I know it feels like this has always been about me, but I have got a little thing and a little secret I want to share about Ben.
Now this does feel like a roast. What kind of retaliation are you planning
so,
here?
So, you know, I've gotten a lot of things wrong, a lot of calls wrong. But this man has said that he is a true Arsenal fan.
Sure.
And that Arsenal, this is the season. So ladies and gentlemen, also from me to you, here are my favorite Ben Arsenal moments.
So we're going to go with the favorites. Man City are looking like the best.
Yeah.
But I do believe that Arsenal is due, if they are realistic and bow out of the Champions League early. This is my high-end synopsis.
Don't do this here. Yourself, Ben. Guys, Arsenal fans, just enjoy the run. It's too early to put odds in.
Don't listen to this Man United fan. That's just his take.
Yeah, you know, because, look, it broke my heart when Arsenal fans really invested in a W. They were like...
Yeah, that was a tough year last year.
And then I'll never forget it, because my friend Fez was reminding me. He said, it was that game against Aston Villa where we lost, and we lost the title. And they were up like 6 points. And,
destiny was in our hands. It was in our gunner
hands.
And
in a true Arsenal fashion. I'm okay about that. I'm more worried about Arsenal.
So Arsenal-Aston Villa, that's the other big game this weekend.
Oh, my favourite fixture for Arsenal fans.
I don't think Arsenal likes playing against teams that have maroon and turquoise in their colours. Because last season, I love this graphic, last season they dropped 6 points to Aston Villa and they dropped 3 points to West Ham. Sandile, if you see that they dropped 0 to Man United,
that's okay. You don't get a medal for, you know, any of that stuff you're talking about.
But yeah, Aston Villa versus Arsenal, it's great because I remembered in the past opening days, the first few rounds, that Arsenal have lost to Aston Villa, and that sucks. But like, this team has to show right from the off that they're going to be title contenders now.
Yeah, they got to, especially because Aston Villa is the team that made them lose the league. I don't even want to. Even read the comment. Aston Villa's the...
It's never a safe place here. I mean, as Michaela's writing there, Arsenal, great start, not great in the finishing part. Yeah.
So Arsenal, you know, this is the team. This was their bogey team last year. They had the buffer. They lost those 6 points. And that was it. And especially now with the EPL being as tight as it's going to be. If you're going to chase Pep, you've got to win every single game and hope he drops.
And I reckon that's why Arsenal are going to win this one. Because even in preseason, they'll be like, obviously we'll get through the Wolves. Beating Aston Villa is a psychological statement this team is going to make.
But we could have made so much money and then Arsenal won 2-0.
No, but you don't go against Arsenal this season. Oh, I mean, this is the season, guys. I've been a bit of a on-the-fence Arsenal fan for the last 4 years or so. That's because it hasn't been time yet. I'm timing my run. This is the season where I go all in. I've got all three kits, home, away, and third.
Yeah,
so I'm excited. I'm damn excited about Arsenal this year. You know, obviously, I've been telling everybody that this is the year that Arsenal wins. I'm timing my fan run. This is the season for it. But let's get back to the football. Yeah. I think you went quite light on Arsenal.
Yeah, I was winning.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate that because it dawned on me that Arsenal is my team for life because essentially they're like the Proteas of football.
Ben, for me, it's all the crazy things you said throughout this, you know, the season. This is the time. It's happening now. You even said it in front of your father, so the satisfaction will come back when I get to
We've
get all those
clips. We've only played 10 games.
Oh, this is now. It's the hope that Arsenal gave their fans, and they broke it so early. I mean, you've already dropped 2 games, and you know it means that you've got to go undefeated for the rest of the season. This is what we've been seeing in the EPL.
So I had a contingency plan in my mind. You can lose 5 games and still win the EPL.
No.
Technically, I mean, if the other teams don't.
Drop points as well, yeah.
So I just thought that the rock bottom is 5 losses, and we've lost...
3?
3.
Ooh.
In the first 10.
This is going to be an incredibly long season. We've got all your superstars who've played incredibly, you know, long games. They played Euros. They've played so many games. This was going to be the test of how good Mikel Arteta's system is, and he continuously plays the same players. And now, you know, Saka is going to be next if it continues to happen like this. And this is how you win championships, with depth.
Saka's young. He's made out of magic. He's fine.
As you guys said, the time was now. And we knew the depth once Odegaard got out is that this was going to be a huge problem. And this is a test of a championship team. And they've kind of shown that they're not built for it.
Yet.
Next year. As we always say, next year.
Yeah, I mean, what I did, like, the best meme / whatever Arsenal dig it was Arsenal's like a Netflix series. You're always waiting for the next season.
Or Arsenal like Eric Ten Hag, or Arsenal like Kamala Harris.
Yeah, okay, look, fair enough. Keep it coming. But we're 10 games in, and yes, Arsenal have been like the Proteas. They've given us the hope, and they've just shown fuck all intent. I mean, that Newcastle game was one of the most frustrating moments ever. I then lost money on England because they bottled it as well. I mean, sheep is.
We need to put up the graphic of you being Drake now, because I think it's. Yeah, I'm no longer Drake. It's been some.
Guys, I'm just going to point out. You know where I ended up on Saturday after all the sport?
Tell us.
Babylon.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
my day was not going great. I thought, you know what? Just go for drinks.
Make it even worse.
Yeah.
James, how did you feel this weekend about, you know, Arsenal once again laming out and Man City choking once again? I'm not going to make that reference, but you know what I'm talking about.
Four losses, 11 days.
Weekend on weekend, Ben, whenever Arsenal just, to put it plainly, fuck it. Whenever Arsenal fuck it. I think about one of the early shows we had this year, and you said Arsenal were winning the league. The whole league.
Yes, and it's still going to happen. No. Okay, I've got to double down now. I can't pull out now. I mean, come
on. That's what she said, but anyway.
The train has left the station in this one, unfortunately. I'm happy about this. I'm happy about this for a good reason, too.
Really?
Because it's time for Arsenal to get momentum.
Let's not start like this.
Yeah, Arsenal have started the season playing the best of the best, and they've played 6 other... Of the top 7 from last year, straight away. They're now playing Nottingham Forest, who beat Liverpool. So get them out of the way. These Oaks are going to be playing Ipswich, Crystal Palace, all the other teams. They're going to get a head of steam going up there. They're going to close the deficit, and they're going to get back into title contention.
Guys, please keep on remembering all of these things.
They're only 9 points back, right? And they've played all the best teams. And they've had injuries. I mean, Arsenal, literally, if you are a cyclist, they're in the slipstream right now. They're very well placed. They're going to time their run perfectly. They're still going to do it, okay? They're still in touching distance. They've still got a good team. This is still the year.
Ben, you know that your team is a bunch of pretenders. They are the Proteas of football. All hope, no happiness.
You know, again, this isn't a roast about you, but speaking about the Proteas, I don't think there's been anything on this show that's actually derailed you as much as the Proteas.
Oh, this is going to be the best part.
Which is saying something, because he's a Chiefs and Man United fan, but I don't think anything has got to him so upset as the Proteas have this year.
The hard truth. That's it.
I got to say, this week, highlight so far for me, besides being in studio and doing the show right now, the highlight was watching Sandile's Twitter feed during the Proteas match against Bangladesh. Now, if you're on Twitter, you got to follow him.
At ShazLNS. That's a great way just to punch it in, Ben. I like that.
Now, I knew the week was going to start very, very steamy because Bangladesh are like one of those bogey teams. Even though we've never lost in T20s to them, in the ODIs, they've often humbled
it's
us.
It's not a bogey team. And you know, Ben, don't get me started
any
on the
team in the top eight against the Proteas is a bogey team potentially. No. They play cricket. Yeah. So Nepal, I think they just had a rained out game against Sri Lanka, so they're not really going to be in the mix anyway. Look, I don't mean to sound defeatist, but I need the Super 8s now. Like, the Proteas have steadied the ship. They've shown their hand. I'm pretty confident. I want to see big stakes now, like playing the small teams. But look, it's going to happen. Saturday, that's going to be the game. SA Nepal, New Zealand.
Can I say
something? Yes, sure.
Proteas, please, can you just make it clinical? We don't feel like anything exciting. Me and Ben want to enjoy our weekend and not have to stress about you guys.
It's going to be the true battle of South Africa in that competition. And I really hope Proteas bring it home. You know, we've been waiting so long for Protea glory, and we get to put some old curses away. And I'm crossing fingers for Alan Donald. Please.
Yeah, I really like what you said there. You said Protea glory.
Yes.
I'm tired of hearing Protea fire. Yeah, I want more than fire.
They got to rechange that.
That's like saying, come to my bra, I've got a fire. No, I want the flace. I want you to whip something out that I can really get my teeth into.
No, 100%.
That's what I want. And Protea glory sounds so much better. Sad face, solemn tone. The Proteas came so close. So close. They got a final. They got into a winning position in the final. The entire nation was with them, staring over the precipice of absolute glory. The Cricket World Cup final, it was there. It was there for the taking. And they proceeded to completely fuck it up.
Fuck, those guys actually have never, ever loved us. And they're going to give Alan Dolan no peace at all. We have got to deal with another curse. I guess we'll never win a World Cup.
The Alan Donald references have come out from you throughout this entire show. Have been so funny. Like, we absolutely had to try and get Alan Donald.
We'll never get him. He'll never come.
Get Alan in 2025.
He'll never fucking come. Talking about guests, Ben. Look, this show has made me live some crazy, crazy things I never thought. We've had rugby legends, Paralympians, you know, good old Good Oaks. Shout out to my guy Chris Karpinski, and just general, you know, superstar athletes who have given us such great stories. So this is my favorite guest montage of the people that we've had on the show.
I want to push the Proteas thing straight away to the side. Well done, guys. I know people lose in sports. I'm not using choker tags or whatever, but to say the Springboks are on this weekend is like saving us. And we've got Brian Abana in the studio for this. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Ben, great to be here. Yeah, lovely to be here. I really appreciate the flattery that I'm the best guest that you can have as a forecast this weekend. I actually think, given the Dr. Rassie Rasmus-Mania, he would probably be the best guest. But as a sloppy second, I'm happy to fill in for that, Ben.
No, Brian, I disagree.
As a Man United fan, I am so happy that Liverpool lost. James, just say something for me. You know, I gave you props. You got to acknowledge your L now.
Okay, so... L taken. I get it. Okay. You got to take your first
season. At home, at Anfield.
I thought it was the toughest atmosphere to play football in England.
It was the hardest place to go play in England.
Wow.
Yeah, James, now you can start. Yep.
You'll never walk alone.
All of those things. Remember the things you
take
me on.
Steven comes and waves at you if you win. All those things you speak about.
Yeah, go on. We'd love your analysis.
Okay. Hear me out, right?
We're here for you.
A loss has to happen. Right, it's good to get the first early loss out the way early in the season. The Box did it at the World Cup. Lost their first game.
Ireland.
Won the World Cup.
Not a Tonga.
Or Fiji. Yeah. You're like, come on.
Like.
And when you won the gold, you wore that and you went out and you go back to the village and that. how does that work?
No, so we won the gold, went back to go obviously sing the national anthem in Stade de France where the Springboks did it. And then
that was cool. I got to tell you, I had a little tear when that happened. Because it's when you hear your anthem at the games like that, you're a gold medalist. Like,
special.
That's
That's special. You haven't just done well for your standards. You've beaten everybody. You've beaten the world.
Yeah.
There's like this extra gravitas on an anthem like that. And you must have felt that too.
No, 100%. I mean, luckily all my tears came beforehand when I had that realization. So by the time I was on the podium, fresh. I was fresh. I had a smile. Yeah. I could look up, really take in the moment. But just to hear it and say, this is where the boys did it in green and gold, and this is the first for South Africa. That was the first medal we had at the Paralympics. Yeah. So it was also a golden opener, which rarely ever happens at a big game.
I think as the box become more successful, as they really are already, and understanding the MP role as it grows as well, it's going to have more impact, I think. You know, it's big. It's big. That's huge. And it's getting bigger.
Yeah,
it's getting big. Excuse the pun.
that's what we're here for.
Specific, I just want to ask, you know what I love to do is to strip down the person and find out who they are.
As a person.
Just chill out. Just chill out. Do you understand what I'm saying?
We need to go to Heineken Zeroes, I think, at this stage. Huh?
I mean, yes,
Chris
Kopinski
is our guest. I mean, obviously, is a guy I like talking to most days.
Yeah.
Plus, he's the guy that kind of got me into football and got me supporting Arsenal. So he is our special guest on the couch today. Dad, wonderful to have you in here.
It's a great pleasure, and I get a great thrill seeing anyone in my family doing something special like this. I've watched all 17 of your episodes.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Your mother and I watch it every Friday morning over breakfast.
Oh, brilliant.
And they're getting better and better, and we really enjoy them, and I hope the listeners do as well. That was it, the goalkeeping thing. And I later became a goalkeeper at junior school. I went to high school, I was a goalkeeper. Right through school, I was a goalkeeper. Our school had a great reputation for goalkeepers. We provided the provincial under-18 goalkeeper for 7 years running.
Okay.
Until Chris Kopinski came along at the trials, and he didn't get in.
Oh,
the first one in 8 years didn't get in.
Don't tell stories like that. Mr. K, you could have left it like there.
No,
you could have said
at least I'm being honest.
Came from a prestigious football school.
The guy that became the goalkeeper that year was a guy called Mark Wallington, who later on, literally a year later, signed for Leicester City. Right. He played over 430 games for Leicester City.
Jeez.
And he was an amazing guy.
Yeah. And we painted that faster than Pierre.
Than Pierre.
Look, at this
and
stage,
Jimmy.
I think Jimmy was.
Yeah, he's burnt out. You guys have.
We had saved an energy for the right reason.
I see what you guys. You guys use your. I like what you guys did there.
But the whole thing is that we won. The incentive here was to win, and the winning team goes to Rio to the FIFA World Cup.
Oh damn!
So that's what we did, and we ended up
perfect
in Rio.
Trip.
Did you guys give? Did you guys give Pierre at least something?
Nothing. Nothing.
Not even a mention over there. I mean, Jimmy Ta, every time I see him, I remind him of how painting can win you things.
It does. I'll never.
That is crazy. PSPs, thank you. That's what I want to thank them on our behalf. Wow.
Yeah, best athlete ever.
He was. That was great. We should actually have Pierre on. I'll bring those photos back and then he'll get the PTSD.
Yeah, get his reaction.
So only like, Jesus.
Yeah, so that was a really cool trip. I mean, the last time I spent time with you then was actually at the FIFA World Cup, where I think you went missing for about 2 days.
Yeah, standard.
Speaking of guests, we, of course, just had the On The Bounce show, our awards, our first ever awards show.
Yeah.
But I got to ask you, like, properly, who was your favorite guest of 2024?
Fuck, I've got to be honest. It's got to be Brian, because that was such a genuine groupie moment. Looking back at that episode, for me, it's the cringiest episode because I literally just... There are times if you look at Ben in that episode, you'll see me, like, just go completely off script.
It wasn't that bad. I mean, the whole thing is, like, did you enjoy chatting with him?
Yeah,
like, was he your favorite guest?
I love chatting with him.
If I was to bring him back, would you love it?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I got to ask a question I've always wanted to ask, which is that case question. And I got so many comments from my homies about it. So that was super dope. And it's fucking Brian O'Banner.
Nice.
You know? Yeah.
So, I mean, again, I'm going to give my co-host a compliment here. Is that
shout out.
I don't want guests every single week. I love nothing more than shooting the shit with this guy with Heineken in hand here. And I think with the two of us in studio together, we get this rare opportunity that we can just have nothing but flat out hot takes.
Yeah.
We can unpack whatever we want, however we want, at our own speed. And this year, I'm going to say it, there's been some pretty good hot takes between the two of us.
Ooh, yeah, there've been some wild ones.
Some of these might actually shock you watching them back.
he's exciting, and also he plays such a good old aggressive tennis, showmanship aggressive and tennis.
Goes for it. Like, and he goes just for only it. Has one gear and it's very fast.
And it's very fast. You know, I just hope he doesn't suffer from Rafa and get injuries, but he is the future of tennis. I bet
6% of the votes. He's now going to be the new darling of tennis. 100%. Now, Jannichsen is my guy. I don't know why I'm very drawn to this oak.
Why?
Mostly
please,
because
please
I just
break it down.
You look at him, he's like this big, tall, skinny, ginger Italian guy. Like,
here's my thing. And I think, I don't want to say it's an American thing. I think she's being a bad loser because that couldn't have decided the whole game.
No, it didn't. I mean, I think she got quite, it's approached all over again. They're making heavy work of small teams. But as Henrik Larsson said, you've gone from all these on super over.
And also what's crazy that why does the USA have such a huge following of cricket? I know everybody thought it'd be empty stadiums. The Bangladesh and the Protea game was sold out. There was not even a seat. So I think it's such a great ad for cricket. But I mean, so that, dope to see Virat Kohli at the NBA finals.
It's a traditional expat kind of community. Like, they worked it out a while ago. And again, this is why they pushed for these tournaments.
Yeah.
Cricket, by participation, would be second in America, second to India. By participation. Think about it. Huge country, right? Huge expat country. Communities. You're batting, hit a good shot, you're getting fours, you're getting boundaries, and the constant run rate's going. Here, because the outfield's literally just been laid, like this week, like this, that outfield's about as new as this studio.
Shout out to the studio.
So you hit a good shot, it only goes for one or go for two.
But right now, you've got Harry Kane, the most informed striker in the world right now, and you've got Harry Kane, who is the most informed striker in the world right now. Anybody else can try to disagree with me.
Okay, so while you gather yourself here, because you're talking indefinitely again, I love it.
No time
for fence sitting on this show.
No, why must be fence?
So via Zibabet here, I'm looking at it right now. The outright winner is going to be England at 3.45, France at 3.95. We've got Germany at 5, basically winning. I mean, every time he tees it up, he's in the top five, always winning.
100%.
He just won Jack's tournament at Memorial, which is the perfect tune-up, okay? Tough golf course, smoked everyone again. Mm. So he's going into this as the outdoor favorite, and for good reason, too. I mean, I am going to back that guy. I am backing him.
So you're not gonna give Rory any...
I'm getting there. Because Rory is actually, as always, Rory is a double-edged sword, if you want to call him that. Because, you know, he hasn't won a major in 10 years. Mm. Okay.
But he's like odds on number two.
No, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And he's exciting, all these kind of things. Mm. The last major, he told the world he's breaking up with his wife. He's getting divorced. He goes into this major now with rumors that he's actually still
worse than seeing a champion try to compete at a level he can't anymore. But it's Tiger Woods. I back him no matter what. I have to. I'm sorry.
I used to be like that. But I mean, it's almost like watching.
It's like heavyweight boxing. And we're going to get into Tyson. It's like backing Tyson in this fight. He's probably going to have like a heart attack. Yeah.
That's next episode. The whole thing is that Tiger's legacy was something that nobody ever thought could happen.
Yeah.
So now every time he trots himself out now to not make the cut, it kills those good memories.
So you ready to doesn't make the cut?
Spoiler alert, UFC Africa is never going to happen. Sorry, guys.
Let's not put that into the universe.
Sorry.
Let us not put it into the universe.
I want it to happen more than anybody, okay? Yeah. But rands and cents or dollars and pennies, however you want to describe it, the UFC is not going to make it happen, unfortunately. Now, I've got a kind of theory, and I know people are going to probably pick this apart, and it's not based in science, but Cricket South Africa had this weird thing where they made Quinny the captain, then they made Temba the captain. Now, I believe humans are quite simple, right? It's the stick and the carrot for a lot of people. We need inspiration and we need encouragement. I don't think you can have soft-spoken, short people captaining sports teams.
That is crazy.
I just don't think you can do it. Markram's tall. He's got quite a masculine approach. He's got a presence about him. So I just think primarily, first and foremost, it's a stature kind of thing.
Yep.
And then
to the Olympics. Because Safa Cup is so outdated. Do not even get me started on how much I wish this trophy doesn't exist. It's no longer marketable. You no longer care about it. Nobody gets entertained by it. It doesn't fill up any stadiums. Why do we still have it? It's so old, and even Safa and the people around it don't care about it. I wish they could just can this tournament and just rather go through camps than everybody go do their camps, go trial, because nobody cares about Kosafa Tria. But they play so great. But I've really got, you know, Netherlands, with how they've been playing up front, expansive football. Netherlands, let's go.
Okay, I was trying to make a separate point, but yeah, steamrolling.
Oh, sorry. Make the point. Sorry,
no, this whole thing about like Turkey and Czechia and all this kind of stuff. Everyone's name is in English. That's like Germany just suddenly going, no, guys, we're Deutschland. This is it.
So, I mean, Erdogan decides that he wants to call Turkey to great, awesome. But guys, it's a standardized thing here.
100%.
It's not. It's just. It's a bit weird. And I feel for those commentators because the guy's like, Turkey have been so fantastic on the front. As you can see, Turkey. Oh, sorry, hang on a second. Turkey. Guys, they're just English words. We're a bit better for worse. Wars were fought. We just use the English anglicized version of these things for standardization.
100%. Please don't judge me.
I don't know why I needed to get off my chest.
Why has this been bothering you?
Look, let's get to your next game, which is the biggest case. So let's just take the Sharks, for example.
Yep.
Pepsi Buthelezi's gone there. Trevor Nyukane's gone there. Grant Esterhazen, Maxwell Mapimpi. I'm probably forgetting a few others, but they're now playing Curry Cup this weekend. Okay. So they're in the squad. I mean, injuries happen. They could be playing against Portugal. They could be playing Rugby Championship, of course.
Yeah.
But then because there is Curry Cup, they're in the mix, which isn't great for who are the Sharks playing? Griquas.
Griquas. Oof.
There's also quite a step down here. You're in the box squad, staying in nice hotels. Now you're playing a game at Kimberley.
Now you got to go to Kimberley instead.
Shout out Road Lodge.
You got to say that the Formula One, if that's still a thing.
It's a very good point you make there because in the build-up to the Durban test, it's like so much was spoken about these pods and the attacking play and all this kind of stuff. The Springboks forgot the fact that they've still got to be hard bastards.
Mm.
And the Irish came in there basically. It looks like the Irish went to some Durban boxing gym for a whole week and just basically hard bastarded themselves up to get to that game because they were so physical. I mean, there was the attempted murder on Malcolm Marks as well to really just pinpoint how aggressive they were.
Can I jump in?
Harold Kane.
Harold Kane's starting to feel like Alan Donald right now. Another cup final and Harold Kane has blown it. I really think it's Harold Kane now. I mean, Bayern Munich, 12 years, you know, first time they didn't win anything. Tottenham Hotspur since that hasn't won anything. England 2 finals hasn't won anything.
Tiger Woods, for me, is the verified GOAT.
Thank you.
Because he changed the sports.
Yeah, but
and golf changed in his era because of him. They had to raise the game from this dude.
Yep.
These oaks were getting pissed after every round. Tiger went to the gym. Golf changed.
Yep.
Suddenly you got athletes playing in this. You got competitive players. So much more money came into the game. So, yes, Tiger's got 15 major championships, so he's 3 short.
Yeah.
But also, because of all his whoring, he was out for so many years.
Ben, come on, forgive him, man. He was on a journey of
self-discovery. What do you mean, forgive him? I'm just a journey
of self-discovery.
I'm stating the facts here. Tiger was a winner on and off the golf course. His other sport was banging chicks. Yeah. We know that. I'm not judging him. I'm just saying that if he wasn't so, I don't know, lost, then he might have had 18. So all the people who said, no, he's not as good as Jack, I think we need to look at this as an exception and say, Tiger is the GOAT for the way he won and how he dominated.
Yep.
Even if Pele was pound for pound the best footballer, who tested him to show that Messi has been up against the best defenses in football that have evolved through professionalism, and he's had to do it time and time again. Pele rocked up. A lot of the Oaks were smoking at halftime. Some of them were out of shape. A lot of them were on drugs.
Counting beach soccer goal, 5-a-side goals, there's 1,000 goals which we can't account for. I mean, come on, guys. I'm with you with the Pele thing, but get out of here. Also, his club statistics and his club winning ratio. Yes, he played at Santos for the majority of his life, but
583 appearances for Santos.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure, 563 goals, amazing. But
who cares?
That's not Champions League football.
Go play against Johan Cruyff and the boys and let's see what you got, you know.
Cricketing goats. Obviously, the best cricketer of all time is Jacques Cullis. There's no doubt about that. He's the greatest of all time. Third highest test runs, 40th most wickets taken. He got lots of catches. He went from bald to having hair. He's got a double 100. He's an absolutely beautiful, wonderful man. He went to Wamba Boys High. He's the greatest cricketer of all time.
So
take your Garfield Sobers, your whoever, and
whoever.
Get stuffed.
I got to ask how you've ranked. Did you say marathon swimming, long distance swimming?
Marathon swimming for me is a 3 out of 10 sport. They're in the water. What can you see? You can just see splashes.
But is it like the mid-mile mile?
How does that rate above football, though?
Because, or again, where else do you see marathon swimming? There's a rarity to it. That's what gives it the extra point.
Oh, that is no, I'm not going to let Ben. That's madness.
Guys, there's a thing about it.
You can't even see it. I'm with you.
Guys, but like when in doubt, if the Olympics is that sport's pinnacle, then it gets another point.
Okay.
So marathon swimming, taekwondo, which is the most boring of martial arts, by the way, it's like T-Rex fighting because you can't use your arms. Wrestling, again, if you're a wrestler, amazing. Otherwise, it's just struggle cuddles.
Okay.
And
struggle and cuddles.
Shooting, yeah, get past that.
Beach volleyball. I love watching beach volleyball.
Every guy does. Show me a guy doesn't like it, I'll show you a lie. There are. It's the most high stakes of all of the events at the Olympics.
We've seen people pop shoulders live. Yes. Just like, oh.
We've seen arms break. Basically, you see these people, okay? And a lot of these like funny Eastern European countries, like, you know, Clean and Jerkistan, they come out here and they're getting beaten up by their coaches. They're getting slapped in the face. They've got like chalk marks in their face. These people are rough and they look like houses, okay? There's no conditioning whatsoever. They're slabs of meat. From countries that you can't pronounce. They psych themselves up. There's like smelling salts in the mix, whatever it is. And you see them going into a mental place where the next 20 seconds of their life could be the be-all, end-all. They could either become Olympic gold medalists, they could either shit their pants, or they paralyzed. Can break a limb.
Yeah, for me, that is...
It's so much goes into that small space of time. Weightlifting in the Olympics is, for me, again, you know, this is the beautiful thing about the Olympics is that, I mean, I know a lot of women don't watch sport, and if they do, they watch the men, which isn't great for women's sport. But there's a lot of like the competitive levels are quite equal between the two genders. And also, shout out the IOC that there'll be no penises in the pool for the women's swimming events.
No, where we're going with this.
Zero.
Okay.
And there'll be no Oaks weightlifting in the women's thing.
Don't know where we're going with this, Bill.
No, I'm just, guys, I mean, this, again, I don't want anyone's chance to shine to be eroded by some crap identity politics.
Whew.
What about? But we've got Curry Cup. Now, the Curry Cup's been kind of interesting because I, for one, thought it was going to be a two-horse race. I thought it was going to be the cheetahs and the lions, and the bulls downed the cheetahs. So, slight shake-up in the results. Mm. The sharks are shite.
As they've been the whole year.
They lost to Griquas and they lost to the Pumas. Western Province had a bit of a slow start, but they've had the tougher fixtures. They hammered the Griffins on that car park in Velcom. You know, I was chatting with a mate of mine who knows a lot about rugby.
Yeah.
And he's like, why the hell is there a team in Velcom?
Yeah.
Can we not rather have just two teams in Cape Town or like, I don't know, two teams? Yeah, like
Velcom is just, come on, guys.
Nobody wants to go to Velcom. Like,
what's dope about MTN 8 this year, there is a high incentive for teams to win. There's 10 million rand that's been put down by MTN, which has been awesome.
So we can make an MTN 10 now. then Chiefs can be in.
Ben, please. I don't even think they'd make it if they were 10.
45-year-old Tani, I don't know what French for Tani is, but she's rolled in there.
And seven.
Obviously, she didn't win, but seven Olympics. That's hella amazing, eh?
She must be killing it during, you know, trials for the Olympics. Good if she's genes. That dominant, damn.
Good genes. Or she just keeps that pimp hand strong with all the grandkids or something, because strong woman.
The one thing about Australia, we know that they're back at ground zero and they have to develop this whole program all over again. I have a lot more hope about this, you know, this Australia, you know, development team coming through again. But
what are you basing that on?
That they've been so shit, so you can only come back up. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to knock that, but it's a fucking weak point.
Yeah, it's a weak point. They've been terrible, so you can't be more terrible now.
So the golden era of Liverpool, the Klopp era, is now done.
It's one title, guys. It's one EPL title. I hate that no Klopp era.
When did Man United win a title with their 16 coaches in the last 5 years?
Jesse Creel didn't just take the opportunity. He became a structure of the team. The Boks are a better defensive team when he's at 13. It's been proven. And then people say, well, okay, great. That's one of his aspects. But he still has attacking flair and he still links other guys around. And as Michaela points out in the comments here, Jesse Creel brings women to watch rugby.
That's the most important
part.
Can't
fight that.
Apparently, that's the most important part.
Who
the
you
most
are, you marketable. Can't fight that.
Leicester Tottenham. Jamie Vardy having a party. And fucking telling Tottenham fans, get out of here. I've won a league. You haven't won shit. I love Jamie Vardy because, once again, he's a testament to the old school era of football, playing for one team for until, you know, you. He's like, gives me Alan Shearer vibes, you know.
It's so
like,
true, because when Leicester won the league, he could have got a big payday somewhere
and
else.
And all the offers were there. He was one of the best strikers in Europe. Yeah. And he went, people forget, this is a guy who went down. He went down with Leicester, came back, you know, injured. Got into the tunnel, had a Red Bull scored. I mean, Jamie Vardy having a party, that's my guy. And
unless it's not exactly the most amazing place in the whole world, huh?
I mean,
if you want to live in a place in this great world of ours, Leicester doesn't, it's not like the top 10. Even in England, it's not even a nice place to live.
It's giving like a bloom, apparently.
Not even. Bloom's way nicer.
It's like
Velcom.
Velcom, hectic.
Let's go more with Velcom for Leicester.
Man City.
Do we need an extra player in the matchday squads to include an extra dedicated prop to avoid uncontested scrums? Dirk, I think it's just an Australian problem here. I think every other team is self-respecting enough that you're going to have two props on the bench no matter what.
Look, I'm mad at the uncontested scrums, but as a tactic, fuck, it makes the game a little bit, you know, especially with a scrumming team like we do. I was just a dirty rugby.
Personally, I'd like to cite Australia for being pussies, and I'd like for them to run a 6 month.
I second that. I'd like to cite the Wallabies for being pussies,
and they must run a 6 month suspended sentence where they must buy all their fans beers.
100%, and us. Just, you know, bring them all the beers.
I don't want their beers. They're going to be full of estrogen.
Oh,
extra estrogen for those Aussies.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a scrummy.
That was dark.
That was pretty
I
mean.
Really like that. That was dark of you, Ben.
Yeah. What are the other sort of major rivalries that you'd think about that you really care about?
Oh, I think for me, Super Classico is probably one of the biggest rivalries. That's Boca Juniors River Plate.
Oh, those always go mull, huh?
And it's, you know, it's so polarizing. It's similar to what we have with Cheese Empires locally. You know, they come from the same place in Buenos Aires originally, and then River Plate moved to Nunes. Or you'll get me, you know, sorry guys, I'm not Spanish. And that
thanks for clearing that up.
So that rivalry has become so heated, and you know, during Diego Maradona, post Diego Maradona, this has become one of the biggest fixtures in Argentina. So for me, that's one of the biggest rivalries.
I think any stadium that needs fencing to keep the players away from the spectators, you just know. And riot police are basically your standard. It's pretty.
Chiefs actually have the winning record against Pirates, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Chiefs are called the glamour boys and all those things for a reason. They were great.
It's a great marketability, and they still run on that.
But basically like the 90s were the happiest time for you. Oh. Man United and Chiefs were like those.
Early 2000s as well, you know. Right now we've got the Sundowns dominance, and we just got Chiefs playing dog shit. But for me, those are dog. No, I'm not even going to lie about it. I mean, dog shit.
Worse than Man United.
Worse. At least we were going into some sort of tournament.
Are you?
Chiefs were like ninth. We don't even get into MTN.
Cricket's got two amazing rivalries. The Ashes, obviously. Yeah. England versus Australia. We all know the thing about that. England, through their own hubris, which has often come back to bite them in many ways.
What a big word. Hubris.
Yeah, that's exactly what the English basically were, because they felt they invented everything. They should be best at everything. They were so cuck against Australia that they said, this is the death of cricket. They burnt the stumps, and then they've got the Ashes. And then...
Is that the story? I really thought it was like something deeper than that.
No, that's it. Because they lost to these convicts, Australia, let's be honest. That's not a slur, by the way. That's just history. The English were like, we're going to burn the bales. And basically, that little tiny urn, I've actually got a replica, that little tiny urn was filled with the ashes of the bales.
Oh, hectic. Nice history lesson.
Beautiful thing, history here.
Yeah.
And then another big rivalry in cricket is Pakistan versus India, because they just fucking hate each other.
That is the one. Like, if we talk about rivalries, I hate you, you hate me. That is the most electric rivalry in cricket.
And what I love about that is that there are so many expats from those countries. You can go play a T20 match in Mongolia, Buenos Aires, Canada.
And it's pumping.
You name it. You'll be able to get 50,000 Indian and Pakistan fans shouting, screaming, and hating each other. Yep. It's like, it's just the weirdest thing. But this weekend, we've got the Monza race. Mm. So the Monza race is like one of those, what do you call it, marquee, pinnacle, Formula One circuits.
Traditional. Yeah.
So it's the one where you go off the straight, and straight away you go into this little dingus where everyone stops.
Yeah.
Something where I could describe it. It wasn't a racing term, driving into a dingus.
Yeah.
It's like a hard chicane.
Into a dingus.
It's like a hard chicane. But
someone is now your enemy, Ben, because they went to Sachs.
Yeah, Patrick, you can suck it. Sachs are always... They'd be weaker, let's be honest. I mean, Weinberg beat them 9-7 2-3 weeks ago.
Did Ben almost say, you can suck a dick?
No, I did not say that.
That was crazy.
I did not say that. Guys, Weinberg versus Sachs is a big deal, okay? Patrick's a lovely person, I'm sure, but I'm going to come harder off the bat there.
Patrick, you almost got my guy to say, Patrick, suck a dick.
Patrick just watching the show because he likes a bit of sports.
That's crazy.
He's going so hard. But I know these guys intimately. But this week, the All Blacks, Flex, if you get the All Black team sheet up there, por favor. As you see, the All Blacks have still not worked out the aspect ratio.
What is happening with their formatting once again?
So if you look at the team now, they've got TJ Perenara and Beauden Barrett on the bench. As in, they want to bomb squad those two Oaks to try finish the game
with more impetus, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Ethan Blackadder is injured. Caleb Clark is injured. Two of the better players from the first game. They've gone with a bold selection, only having two vice captains this week, not three. and then, I mean, there's a bit of a rejig on the back line because now Will Jordan goes to 15. Then we've got domestic violence, Sevi Reese at 14, and then Mark Talia starts at 11. So look, it's still a great side. I still rate these Oaks, but...
But Bowden Barrett had to be dropped. He had a shocker.
You reckon?
He had a shocker. He had to be dropped.
He's their best player.
But he had a bad game against the Bucks.
What did he do wrong?
But also, I was just like, yo, back your team. But I understand what they've got to do now. They've got to make an adjustment. Maybe Bowden Barrett is bomb squaddy.
Well, I tell you why such a good call. Did you watch the thing? It was the second test against England earlier this year. Bowden Barrett came on and he looked like Vili LaRue on meth. Fuck, the Oak just knew exactly what he was doing. He was tireless. He turned the game. He was clinical. He was everything. Use all the words we ever used for a player. Bowden Barrett was that for 30 hard minutes.
Yeah.
Can we not have a bit more nuance to what the fan experience is? Like when the kicker lines his kick up, I reckon Damian McKenzie would shit himself if he heard nothing in the stadium.
Just quiet.
And all he heard was the voice in his mind going, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss.
Why is everyone so quiet?
But because everyone's booing and a laying, whatever, it allows him to focus.
Bachelor party this week in George. Yeah. And we were at a place. It was really, really cool. It was great because you get to sit with all like the local tannies and ooms. And this one tiny was just giving Vili gears the whole time. It was so funny to hear. No, man, fuck Vili. Yeah, so out. It was brilliant. It was just...
Our main job as South Africa is to get Vili to 100.
Exactly.
Forget about everything else. Look, main job. Stalwart, as you'd say.
She had a rock set 1980s haircut. I was not going to mess with her. But yes, we must as a nation.
Yeah. Talente Mbata bailed us out for two games in a row. Clinical scorer.
So I think that's the greatest name for a young talent.
Yeah, I mean, Talente, thank God, because had we drawn against South Sudan, I would have been saying something completely different. I would have been like, oh shit, here we go again. So Chiefs fans, let's just, you know, buckle in. If we make it into the top eight, cool. If we don't, just relax. We're here to figure it out. Don't put too much pressure on us. We're not going to compete for a league. Let's just, you know... Let's play, you know, all those games of football. So don't stress. Don't stress yourselves about it.
Do you think it's fair to say that it's not so much that Chiefs are cuck, it's just that everyone got a bit better?
No, like, they're shit.
I'm trying to give your team something here.
They're fucking terrible. And I fucking love that team. But the last thing I really, really want... No, they fucking shit, bro.
You never swore until you came onto this show. I'm like episode 3 onwards.
Yeah, now it's like a couple of times already.
What did surprise me ever so slightly is that the person who's won the most times in Baku is... Guesses? Quick guesses, guys.
Who was?
David Coulthard.
Sergio Perez.
Wow.
Checo
Perez. You can't get a podium. He is like the Don of Baku.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting. If you actually want to Google Don of Baku, you'll get some great pictures of some very handsome men, but that's a very different story for right now. So I'm pretty excited about this race. There's a great one on the screen right there. That's the Don of Baku.
Right there. I think Rossi just got it wrong with picking Mane Lubok. I think he's consistently shown, even throughout the World Cup, that he's
going in hard straight away.
Yeah, huh? No, I can't forgive him. He ruined my Saturday. To another episode of On the Bounce. My name is Sandy Leshangase, and the boys allowed me to do the opening intro for this week. I'm going to be incredibly inappropriate, but let's get straight into it. City and Arsenal played this week, and they both choked harder than a Mia Khalifa scene. And just like a Mia Khalifa scene, we all love to watch it over and over again. Like I said, I'm going for it. Sundowns and Chiefs played this weekend, and in sticking to saying incredibly inappropriate things, kind of felt like Kaiser Chiefs left the back door open and let the boys from Pretoria take advantage of them.
Was the worst sporting live experience of my entire life for a variety of ways. Firstly, I just don't think I can do T20 cricket. This playing a song after every ball business... It's like DJ Tourette's. Like, okay, I grew up DJing. That was how my adult life started. I was a professional DJ, and I like music, and I like things to sound a certain way. But if you've just literally got a spurt of this, a spurt of this, I thought I was going to have a breakdown.
I think they were just trying to rain over the booze Because no, it felt just, like the boos were going to rain.
There was no booing because I looked around the cricket stadium and no one actually cared.
Oh, it was just
mostly just families getting out there so they could just not talk to each other for the whole night.
Yeah,
it was so bad. I grew up watching sport where there were supporters that were either happy or sad about a performance. I don't think people actually gave a shit. They were just there screaming at each other.
So
it felt like a different universe and it's not for me. Across the question, Kevin Barrett, the Soak.
Yeah.
Worst pullout game in the world. He's a Kevin Barrett, the farmer. Cheapest did he go to the plow?
Oh, I'm not going to entertain kids, your joke.
Hey, kids. So he also played rugby.
Really?
Yeah. Old, there he is.
Oh, look at it. Okay. Dad Barrett.
So any suggestions where his position was?
I'm not going to entertain your joke. You said.
Eighth man. No, he was a flanker and there was a lock. But you got to think with eight kids under the belt. But I think that the biggest thing here is you've actually got to look for Robin Barrett. This woman, not only did she give birth to eight kids, but I mean, this woman, there should be statues of what... Talk about commitment to society of New Zealand.
New Zealand got to give her a statue. She's given so much to the game. She is the ultimate warrior right now.
So I reckon if you go to any of those New Zealand stadiums, there should be a Robin Barrett statue. I mean, she
at least give her a stand.
Give her a stand. Give her something. This woman has literally given so much to this country and the rugby team.
She deserves free healthcare. She's been supporting that healthcare system for a very long time.
Steve broke onto the scene first and then got dropped for his brother. So Mark made his debut at the expense of Steve.
That's crazy.
And it's interesting how, I mean, like their careers kind of went on. I mean, Steve will always be the more prolific guy.
Yeah.
He was the captain. He did so much. But they played 14 years of international cricket together.
Together.
Yeah,
that's 14 years.
It was sensational. And they lifted the World Cup together.
They did. They did everything.
Was he part of that team that broke our hearts?
It was. It was Alan, very much that.
Alan Donald's guest.
I mean, Herschel Gibbs dropped Steve Waugh to drop the tournament, which wasn't actually a line.
Who do you blame, Herschel Gibbs or...?
Absolutely Herschel Gibbs.
Oh, also, Alan...
No, I mean, Herschel could have done it. Let's... Every episode you mention Alan.
Let's move on.
Every mention... Okay.
I think we're such deep pros when we come to this, such sports enthusiasts, but it's not always like that. There have been some incredible, incredible flops on this moment. As of last week, you forgot my Leon Marchand little ramble that Ben let me walk into. So, Ben, yeah, you betrayed me on that.
No, but it's not always easy being in these chairs. I mean, we started out, obviously, doing the show as like a recorded show. Then we want to do the show as a live show because we wanted to get viewer comments going. We wanted to be very engaging.
Yep.
But at the same time, like, we've tried different microphones that haven't worked.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. We're running these cameras in 4K and they get very hot. So we now need to be in a very air conditioned room. This is why we always cold. But then on a really hot day, sometimes the sun, which is behind this massive window over here, has a real massive effect. So it hasn't always been so polished, and I think our temperaments have been tried at times.
Oh yeah, I remember Waras, whoever he is, shout out Waras. Waras had to put an aircon or that little small that small fan behind one of the cameras.
But he's standing there and he's like gesticulating at us. He's got this stupid little fan. I'm trying to talk to camera and be serious. But yeah, there's been some interesting moments in the show this year, and some of them have really kind of helped us by hook or crook, for no intention of being a completely no filter show.
Mostly. Ah, fuck, that was so hard the first time. Okay, so we clap. So you count to three, then clap.
Yeah. One, two, three.
Fuck.
I wonder one falls.
How about we clap on three?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
One more, I got you.
Okay. One, two, three.
Got it. No, we got it.
No. Yeah, clap after three.
My hand's done.
Okay. Three, then clap. Okay.
One, two, three. Nice!
Not the right time of year for that, but thank you, Brian. Fuck, and my name's spelled right. Jabs is all coming together this week.
It's all happening, man.
Like, I remember watching one of the best All Black games that I went to, and it was incredible. You scored two tries right out of nowhere, and then you kind of had to go off. I think it was a concussion.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That was Ellis Park.
Tomahami. Tomahami, Ben.
Sorry. Okay.
You, get your facts right.
Brad,
I just told you about preparing your stat sheet.
Brad, you must forget that in our realm, when we prepare for a Springbok match, we're about six beers in.
Yes.
We're probably onto the brandy before half time. So when 100%. I tell you that you've scored two tries, I've already actually remembered a lot. But
what up, Ben?
Get a little bit closer to that microphone over there.
What up, Ben? What up, James?
You know, when we say episode 7, we're going to be in a much slicker operation here. So I don't want you too far from the microphone. James, you're here as always.
I thought it was Shaz's first show because he sat very far away from that.
No, I'm here.
Okay, James, you have to go so hard. Cheapest. I was making a light bob. You have to come in with Studs Baird. James, if you're going to talk, use the microphone.
On the Bounce is also doing a competition with Heineken 00. Now that's where you talk.
Thanks, James. I would be nowhere without you.
Austin, and lastly, Tatiana Smith, who was Tatiana Schoenmaker. I don't know if she got married or...
She did, James. Women get married.
Congratulations. Yes.
Women meet people they like and they sometimes change their names.
Yes, it all happens.
Okay, thumbs up. Right, that's good. Okay, guys, so we spoke about it at the top of the show. Tonight, Thursday, in the pool, huge, huge excitement because Peter Kotzer, or Kotzer, 8:38 tonight in the pool. This oak, 20 years old from Pretoria. He's in the men's 200 meter backstroke final. I think he got into this into the final, the second fastest qualifier. So this oak, amazing future ahead of him as a backstroker. Sorry, that doesn't sound right. As a backstroke swimmer.
It'd be awesome. And then I always find myself tripping over this name, Sekhukhune United versus Cape Town City.
Is that next weekend?
Yeah, next weekend. And,
so we'll get to that next show.
I don't know
if you listened to the show before, Sandy, but we basically try to keep it a week-to-week basis.
Well, it doesn't change. Those fixtures will still be there next week.
I mean, do you want to get to rugby championships while we're at it?
I really like the rotation in the team and continuity as well a little bit.
Well, no. There's no continuity in this team.
You're right, sorry. Yeah, so wholesale changes. Got rid of Alvarez, which makes them a one-centre-forward team now with Haaland having to play a whole bunch.
Sorry, you're getting burnt in the comments here too. Carry on.
And I just turned my eye. I was like, typical United fan. Yes, I'm going to die with my team. Going back to City.
So that is the longest, long-winded intro around why this fight's going to be incredible and why you need to wake up and watch this. Any questions? I'll take questions. Yes, you're in the hat. What do you guys?
Firstly, great intro.
We're back. Ah, Flex, thanks, man. Okay, we're back. Sorry, I was just checking a message. And again, apologies last week for Argentina being so completely dog shit.
Oh, we got to give a big apology.
I was basically going to give you free money by saying, obviously, the box on handicap. Obviously, Drickers is going to win.
Shit.
And then Argentina. Damn you, Oaks.
Bafana squad.
Oh, of course. Bafana squad
came out, road to AFCON. We're playing Sierra Leone and Uganda, if I am correct. Super, super exciting, you know, lineup that Hugo Bruce has called up. A mix of international and local. We always know the spine is going to be Sundowns based, but very exciting. And I don't know how to pronounce his name. I know I'm going to butcher it. It's Simon.
Please do. I hate being the only guy that butchers names in the show.
Simon van der Dieven Boeden. From Vitesse, first call up. He was super excited to get that call.
It sounds like a craft beer. Do that one again.
Simon van der Dieven Boeden.
You actually nailed that.
First call up from Vitesse. 22 years old. I really love what Hugo Bruce is doing with that.
Now? All right. Welcome to it. Episode 12 on The Bounce Show. Gotta say, this start, like the 5 minutes that lead into me saying this are absolutely frenetic every week. You think we get this right? Well,
it was so strange, but it was a great press conference. You know, Rossi knows how to own a room, which is so awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know why they picked, was it Dixon?
Ben Jason Dixon, yeah.
Yeah, it was Ben. I felt like it was his first day at school and he had to come and give a presentation and he was just like, yeah, I'm so happy to be.
You're talking about Jasper Visa?
Jasper Visa, sorry, my bad.
I know your loose forwards in this show, huh?
Yeah.
Embarrassing moment.
Last one I want to mention, and I wasn't meant to. I got to sneak it in. and it's an individual one. So I'm sorry to say it. It's Ali versus Frazier. That's a huge rivalry for me. I'm not gonna. It's just one of my favorite rivalries of all time in sport. Yeah, that's it. That's me. Sorry, Ben.
Dude, how old are you? Were you alive when these Oaks were fighting?
No, it's just a
one
great
of my favorites. These Oaks fought when there was black and white TV.
It's still a favorite. Let's move
sorry,
on.
Black and white theme, obviously, over here with Sandile Soprano today.
Sandile Soprano.
Ah, crap. It seems like we've had a bit of an issue in the studio with our audio. We're really, really sorry. So this little chunk of the podcast has just sort of fallen away a little bit, much like the All Blacks in the last quarter of their matches. We're good.
Yes.
Yay! Right. Always a guessing game. Welcome to episode 14 of the On The Bounce show.
Spanning from 32 to 36 teams. Single league system format. Hectic, my laptop died on the middle of the show.
Do it off the top of your brain, son. So I got this.
Okay. It's really outside of sports, you know. Yes. Are there any hobbies or passions that, you know, we wouldn't know about? Because everybody focuses on you as an athlete, you know. Mm. Are you...
Steady, we're trying to stay in the race here.
No, I just... we're trying to stay in the race here. I just got to ask the other question.
Sorry,
I really wanted to know.
He generally goes to end of interviews in the beginning.
Yeah, bring and, back.
We are back. Sorry, extended. It's a live show. We do what we can here. We had to get a photo opportunity there with. I'm so impressed that James managed to get the bag back and bring his entire boot back. Okay, so Sandile is going to top us up on a Heineken here. We have to talk about rugby. Do you mind just going back a little bit? You're all over my shot here.
Sorry.
Right. Then on you in 5, 4. 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to it. Episode 20 of the On The Bounce show. Thanks for being with us here today. Now, last week we had some technical issues, and I've got to clear this up right now. Of course, we're trying to evolve the show, make it more entertaining, more enticing for you. And of course, that means that every now and again, we will change it up with our technology, our hardware, if you will. So we tried different microphones, and unfortunately, much like Arsenal, they just didn't perform last week. Seeing as choosing between those two candidates is basically just an icon.
Yeah, not as much.
Fuck, I know. Wait, hang on, Tio. No, don't you five me now after that. Gotta get my breathing. I gotta get my back.
Don't you five me.
No one puts me in a five.
Don't you five me.
He's 101, 104 kilograms of Greek thunder. It is Dimitri Leonati. Fuck.
I
had it, guys. I had it. I prepped this all week.
It's been in the show notes. It's been in the show notes.
Leonati Tanaka.
One more.
Look, I've been a bit of a mess since then because, as you can see, if you're watching the show live, I'm not actually wearing shoes right now. It's not because I'm from Durban or because it's swelteringly hot in here. Always the contrary. Yeah. I got such bad blisters, and then I went and played golf on Monday. The blisters came from me, I mean, like bunker practice, mm-hmm. and then sand got in my shoes like a bad Dido song, and then I walked around a bit, and then it was so embarrassing. 9 holes in playing Gary Player on Monday, I took my shoes off and I played Kyle Foote.
Like, that is crazy.
My play partner, I was called Felix Akint.
Oh my goodness. We need to put that picture on. You
know. Still, on those 9 holes that I played barefoot, birdie 2 of them.
No, shout out.
All right. So, look,
this is the trend now. I just wanted to say, like, if push comes to shove and you don't like your ligaments, I mean, that's the way to go.
The only reason I could probably play barefoot is because I train barefoot and I wear barefoot shoes and I do those kind of things. But I would not suggest it to anybody to go under.
Is there any history of William Webb Ellis playing actual test rugby? No, just picked up a ball once. Ran
James, if he ran on in the 70s after picking the ball up in the 20s.
Come on, buddy.
I mean,
come on, buddy. Come on,
that's
buddy.
That's like uncovering the grave of Don Craven again to run after the box again.
So the amount of shit that we've had to deal with recording the show could be its own podcast and show as itself. Ben, we've had to exercise a lot of patience,
a medal, right?
Which we both don't have. That's the crazy thing about this show.
I think the show has taught us both amazing resolve, compassion, patience.
Patience. Woof.
But yeah, look, it's been a great journey to this point. You know, like we started out the show, as we told you at the start of this episode, you know, just a couple of guys who had a couple of beers. And we wanted to create something cool within sport. And I hope that we can continue to do that, of course. You know, sorry, sure.
This is the most beers, clearly.
Yep.
But it's been really cool in that, you know, we've got quite a broad team. You know, if you look at us here at The Real Network, the greater Wrapped agency team as well, there were some really cool people working behind the show, you know, from our social media people to our designers to the guys in the booth. You know, there literally is, and it sounds so patronizing, but there's actually just too many to mention. We've got a great team who works on all the shows here at The Real Network, and it's going to continue growing. In 2025, you know, there's going to be a lot more shows on this channel to really enjoy. Of course, we'll be the predominant sports channel, sports show here, and we'll continue doing what we're doing. We really do absolutely love it. And I really hope that it shows, you know, like the effort that we put in, the time that we hang out, and I hope it really shows into a great sporting show, which is going to absolutely become bigger and better in 2025. Obviously, you're going to incorporate Alan Donald at some stage. And we're going to just try to keep bringing you a lot of fun guests and, of course, having a lot of fun between the two of us right here in the studio.
Guys, big thank you to you guys for always supporting us on The Bounce. Ben, big shout out to you for always supporting me. It's been
easy.
A beautiful 30 episodes. So it's such a beautiful feeling to get to this point. Guys, let's enjoy our festive season. It's going to be super exciting. But let's drive responsibly, drive safe, and let's also support our sponsors, Clip Drift and Heineken. That's been an absolute journey being with you guys. That is us, episode 30 of On The Bounce, the final one for the year. And see you guys in 2025, where we've got a lot of stuff to cover.
We do. And I'm going to enjoy a few days off right now. Also, you know, like, we need a bit of space now. We need a bit of space.
Yeah, no, we need. I'm going to miss you, though, blood.
I'm going to miss you, too.
And also, we got some very exciting things coming up. We've got, you know, the Drickers fight that we saw that randomly just launched. So, yeah. So, that's us, guys. That's On The Bounce. Happy festive season.
Catch you back. Beginning of the year, SA 20 is actually going to be our big first thing we look at. I mean, look at us. We're already. Let's cut the show here. We can talk afterwards. We're already planning.
Yeah, we're done.
Cheers, everybody.